We're all feeling the financial crunch of living in today's economy, and today we're going to talk about it. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast, your weekly fix for all things mental health and wellness. I'm Brittany, the joke-cracking, detail-oriented friend who is always down the road when you need her. For the legal stuff, though, not the illegal stuff.
And I'm Germany, the loyal friend who keeps you laughing. I'm a ray of sunshine, and you can always find me on the dance floor. And not only are we besties, but we're your besties. You heard me right. It's homegirl vibes here.
Get ready for the girls to dish the real, the raw, and the fucking funny.
And listen, we may drag you, but it's always in love. Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all, welcome back.
Welcome back. I always forget that y'all out there on in the YouTube world are watching this.
Yeah. Are they seeing this part yet?
Yeah. Oh, maybe really? They're not. Maybe they're not. Oh, maybe not.
It depends on when this drops. But you're going to start, so we got to start.
Exactly. I got to tap back in like we were doing a year ago.
I know.
Yes. But how are you today?
I'm good. I've had an eventful weekend, y'all.
What's tea?
Kicked off the weekend with a celebration of love, a wedding.
Yeah.
And I just loved being able to dress up, get dolled up. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been many opportunities for me to like get into my black tie bag. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. I liked that.
That was.
I enjoyed that, you know. And yesterday went to a baby shower. And today we're celebrating Libras.
Yes, the Libra girls. I had a similar weekend. Obviously, I was at the same wedding on Friday, which was nice. I liked that the wedding was on Friday because it made the weekend feel longer because I had a half day at work. So I was like, ooh, I'm already kicking things off early.
Yeah.
So that was nice. And I will say, Tiana, because I know you're listening, because she does listen. I thought the wedding was so beautiful.
It was a beautiful wedding.
The little touches, the little details. There was a cigar bar, which was great for the men.
Yeah. There was no stone left unturned when it comes to the details. And Tiana's a Virgo. She's a Virgo, and you could tell the decor was beautiful.
Love the song little ice choice. Cream and cookies.
Yeah,
the little midnight snack, the slider. Everything was beautiful and nice.
So. They were so generous to provide an open bar for us all night. So
yes,
I felt like the effort that I put into getting ready for the day was worth it. Yeah, it was reciprocated.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The wedding was beautiful. And then yesterday I had a relatively, I was in my element of service yesterday. I was in
service
of service. Yeah. I was of service to my sister and my grandma. And you know, when I was there with my grandma doing her hair, I was like, I need to do this more often.
An act of love.
Yeah. And it's just those little tender moments between us that we're not going to have them forever. And I was just thinking about how like much love she's like rendered to me as I grew up, you know. And like I was a grandma's girl.
Same.
Most first black daughters
first children
who
first
are
daughters.
Raised with their mom's mom. We usually are grandma's girls.
Yeah, me and my grandma used to really be
locked in
besties.
Yeah, I used to be like, mom, leave us here. You could leave us here for the summer. Right. I want to stay with this girl.
At one point, I felt like I was choosing.
Yeah. That is the vibe.
Yeah,
but I was just like grateful for how much like love and sacrifice that she's provided, even just being my grandma, you know? And I'm like, I need to pour back in more. I know that I do it in different ways, but I want to do it in more tangible, like physical ways.
Ways that she will really appreciate.
Yeah. And that she'll be like, wow, I'm really feeling loved up on in these last years.
Yeah.
So I felt really good to see her. And then I had a nice wind down week evening. That was it, really. Came home and settled in.
Same.
And then today, the Libra girls are being celebrated.
The Libra girls are being celebrated.
A nice dinner. Love
a nice dinner. We love a dinner.
Another opportunity to get a little dressed up.
Yeah.
Get cute. That's what the Libra season is about.
I read that.
It is. It's about beautiful things, beautiful places, you know, all the beauty.
For the hood healer, the Virgos, she's a Virgo. Mm-hmm. The Virgos show up and show out in Libra season.
Oh.
That's what she said. So.
And that's why we are gang.
Right.
We were gang. I was talking to somebody the other day and I'm like, my birthday is my most favorite holiday of the year. Mm-hmm. And then Christmas, I was talking to Andres, honestly, not Christmas, Thanksgiving. And then I said, and then like it kind of trickles down. I said, but Brittany's birthday is probably up there too, because it kind of feels like I'm having like my own birthday experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, there's a few birthdays that I really look forward to every year.
Right.
Like, I know something's happening for Brittany's birthday, so we're doing something.
Yeah.
And I told him I would have that same energy about your birthday if you gave a damn.
But listen,
some people
you
are
gotta
just
lead
not
the
into,
charge.
Yeah, some people are just not into birthdays like that.
Right, and we match the energy of the person whose birthday
exactly,
it is.
Exactly, exactly. I'm matching the energy. If you up about your birthday, I'm up about your birthday.
We up and stuck. Yeah. But if you don't give a damn, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, hey, exactly. Then we ain't down something. So yeah. Libra season is probably over. It's coming to a close by the time.
Dang, Libra season go by hella fast. I'm not going to lie.
I know. I feel like I just started getting into my bag around this time. And then my birthday.
Because you're at the end of it.
I'm in the mid.
Oh, girl, I really don't know y'all's frame. I don't know y'all's frame.
I mean, I'm close to the end. Yes, it's wrapping up. But I love it here. It's my favorite time of year. It's the most wonderful. It is of the year. So, yeah. It's been a nice weekend.
It has. My calves are hurting.
Oh, from being in New York. Why, nigga? We was only in heels.
Girl,
for
whatever. I don't know if it was the heels, the dancing.
It was the heels.
DJ Artistic.
It might have been going dumb, taking it down low and having
and
to pull yourself.
And do the bird. Dust myself off like I just went third. Hey, I love when a DJ knows how to get
bring
the party going
element.
And keep the party going.
Oh, I was like bringing a Bay Area element.
That's Mando.
Some of them don't do it.
And if you don't do it, I don't know why you're DJing.
Some people don't do the sprinkle of bay touch.
That is mandatory.
It's kind of like you got to touch all over the coast.
You
got to go east coast. You got to go down south. You got to do the Midwest. You feel me?
Yeah.
And you got to bring it to the West Coast.
Exactly.
And when you hit the West Coast, there's a subdivision. It's the Bay Area.
Yes, it's the Bay Area.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
exactly
all of it. You got to give. Yeah. You know what to do.
The staple hits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sprinkle them in. But it was a great time.
It was a good time. So
now, happy to be here today.
We're here with y'all. Mm-hmm. We're here with y'all. And America has a problem.
America has a problem. Dun, 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 dun,
I feel like we are being gaslit into thinking that we need to work fucking harder or we're lazy when there's a bigger issue going on. Because I know for a fact that I'm not lazy. I have some of the best work ethic. I am willing to work. I enjoy working. I put all of my energy and effort into whatever I do. And I'm resourceful, thinking of ways to make more money. But the reality is, as a millennial, inflation is beating our asses. I am being jumped.
Exactly. My bills are jumping me. No, it is. You know, it's funny that you said work smarter. They are making it seem like that's the key.
We're being gaslit.
It's like, work harder.
Work more. You just got to get out there and make more money.
But the real issue is, y'all, the tide is stronger. The tide is stronger. It's not a work harder. It's not a sink or swim. The tide is stronger, and we're swimming upstream.
Baby.
That's the real issue. Things have changed. It's not us. It's the fact that we're not living in the same reality that our parents, our grandparents were living in. Shit is really, beating our asses.
We aren't. And that's, it's been discouraging.
I know.
It's been very discouraging. And we've had these conversations amongst ourselves.
And amongst our friends.
We've had these conversations amongst friends. I've seen it all over. We are all feeling this.
Yeah.
And it's time for us to have this conversation on the platform.
On the platform.
It's time for us to have
because
it
because if we're feeling it and we're talking about it, we know y'all are talking about it in your group chats. It's a thing.
It is a thing. And I'm just like, the reason why I'm feeling discouraged is because as a solution oriented girly, y'all know that's the type of girly I am at this point. If you've been here, I'm feeling like, oh, what's really the solution?
Yeah.
You know, like what is really the way that we overcome this? Because like you mentioned, we are middle class girlies. We grew up middle class. When we were growing up, our parents did what they needed to do, and they were able to provide a good life for us. I was thinking about how all my friends in high school, everybody had a house. Everybody lived in a house.
Everybody had a car.
Yeah.
In my everybody had a Kumano.
Oh, in your household.
I'm saying in the even like the people I went to school with, all of the people I went to school, we were driving.
Yeah.
In like 10th, 11th grade. Like that's a real middle class life when your fucking family can afford to like provide the children with vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all had houses. We actually have bought two houses. Like we had one house, our first house, and then we moved, and that was an even bigger house.
We had activities, jet skis, sea-doos.
We went on family vacations every year. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about how we all were on planes going to Disney World.
Yeah.
And I had a big family, like three siblings. My mom and my stepdad, you know, and we were really making shit shake. Yeah. And then when you come to present day, it's like
you could barely afford to take a trip. Fuck a family.
You can barely afford to have a family.
Yeah, that too.
You can barely afford to have a family. And then the Generation X, that's like our parents' generation. That is our parents' generation. Not our parents directly, but a lot of people's parents are like, when are you going to have a house? When are you going to have children?
Yeah. It's becoming harder to hit those little milestones that signal adulthood. I know that a lot of us are like adulting already. And that's like sort of a running joke between millennials or amongst millennials is like, we are these people who are going to always live with our parents. Like, you know, it's like this adulting versus being an adult, like the task, the activity of adulting. It's becoming more and more hard to a fucking adult.
It is.
That's the real issue. We are fucking grown as fuck and barely can adult. We can barely adult. Most of us can barely adult.
Yeah.
Inflation is up 3.67%. Anybody who's not feeling this, I'm sure y'all are feeling it. We're feeling it at the gas station. It cost me $96 to fill my car up. $96 to fill my car up.
And what did it used to cost you? Because you've had that car for like 3 years now.
60, 70-ish. It was 70 like two months ago. 75. I'm like, okay, I know $15, $20 doesn't feel like much, $26, but we're adding that up multiple times a week. Now my gas is up $100.
Right.
You see? And for most people, $100 is a lot. That's a light bill.
Listen.
That's the internet.
Okay.
Now
it's a bill.
Now I'm paying more to fill my car.
It's a bill. It's a subscription to do something that you enjoy.
It's a lot of things. I'm like, ooh, that's part of a student loan payment.
And that's really the thing.
You want to keep it too
virtual. Right now, inflation is up 3.67%. But since the 90s, inflation has gone up 67%. 67%, while the wages have only gone up 18%.
Yeah.
Baby, the math is not mathing. And like you said, we're adulting to do the things that we need to do. But as inflation keeps increasing, we're not going to be able to do the things that we want to do.
Right.
And we put way too much time and energy into going to work every day just to work to live and damn near barely able to do that.
Yeah. The discretionary income is
dwindling.
It's going down. It's going down. It doesn't make any more. It doesn't make sense anymore.
It's not making sense.
So since we're in this conversation about inflation, we have some stats because we are girls with
numbers,
period. So a WTW survey, a U.S. companies conducted in early 2022, y'all reported that employers were budgeting an overall salary increase of 3.4%, which was less than half of the inflation rate of 7.9%. This is an issue.
It is.
This is an issue. If inflation, like you just mentioned, if inflation is up, but the wages aren't up, we cannot meet the mark of being able to sustain our livelihood.
The goalpost keeps moving.
The goalpost keeps moving. And even though right now inflation rates are trending down, luckily, but although they still motherfucking high.
Yeah.
Our projected average salary increases have risen to 4.6, but we don't know at the end of the year if that's really going to balance out. If we're going to be able to like outpace inflation. Which is how we continue to live our lives, where the more we have this balance of inflation to increase of our rates, our salary, we feel like we can sustain our livelihoods. Our discretionary income is like, you know, we have a lot to do. But when that fucking margin narrows, we become stressed.
It is narrowing. I mean, they're saying that companies have budgeted for the salary increase, but same time, layoffs are occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Companies are not even giving increases because they're trying to manage the budget.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's not.
And I think something that we also don't consider is like healthcare has gone up. The price of people even paying for their healthcare.
Oh yeah, that go up every year.
But that's not being considered in your salary. And the thing with millennials, y'all, and this is not just a millennial conversation, but because this platform is like for 18 to 25 year olds, not 25, 18 to 40.
40.
Shit.
Yeah.
So a lot of us Gen Z, millennial, girlies, boys, whoever's listening to they, thems, listen to this podcast. A lot of us are even being impacted by previous like issues. Fucking the Great Recession.
A girl.
In 2008. So many of us who entered the job working field.
At that time,
came into a workforce where we were being underpaid.
We were already at a deficit.
We were already being underpaid. Right? So it's like you're doing the job of somebody who probably would have came into the market when it was booming, when the workforce was booming, and got less money
yeah.
to do the work that you are currently doing. We already behind the curve.
We already behind, and then we're getting hit again coming off the heels of the pandemic.
That too. We get into so the workforce like, that's what and then I'm that saying. Happens.
The millennials are really getting their ass beat. The millennials, we are really getting our asses beat here.
Yeah.
Because we came in at a deficit. And we've been having this conversation about the middle class disappearing. Baby, the middle class is gone. They've been talking about this middle class disappearing since the 1970s.
Yeah, and now we're here.
And now it's, you know, been slowly disappearing.
Yeah.
And I know that it seems like this is just a new topic of conversation now because of the point where we're at in our adulthood. But it's not just now starting to happen.
Yeah.
It's happened.
It's been happening. And I think as like younger adults, we hadn't felt the real strain of inflation, like the way our parents might have been feeling it at some point, paying for things. This is the first time that many young adults are being hit with like, whoa, what the fuck is going on out here?
Right.
It's tough. It's a reality check.
And the thing is, the difference between us and our parents is a lot of them have already established some things for themselves. Like a lot of people's parents already own homes.
Yeah.
On lakes and, you know, these big, nice homes, you know, the Carsons and the Windsor Hills and the Ladera Heights. You know, they already had their shit set up when the middle class was booming.
Yeah.
And we're trying to think about why is it costing $800,000 for a condo or a townhome that shares walls.
Listen, that's the issue. And we're still getting it.
Like,
we're still feeling it. It's
like,
so hard.
Girl, I had looked up. So, you know, they're saying like the whole goal back in the day was like, you know, make your $100,000. You're going to be able to really live well because our parents were making much less and able to do what they needed to do. Right. But now because of inflation and the way that it's changed, they're talking about $300,000 is the new $100,000.
That could never be.
They're saying $300,000 is a new $100,000. And they're right, because in Los Angeles, where we live, if you make $100,000,
you're considered poor.
Your rent should be like $2,300 max based on like that 40% rule.
Yeah.
But the average rent for a one bedroom in Los Angeles is $2,700.
Yeah.
So y'all telling people that they can't afford to get an average apartment?
That's what they saying.
That's not right.
It's
we
not
working
right.
40, 60 hours a week.
I strongly believe that anybody who's going to work at any rate, whatever that is, minimum wage, $100,000, I don't give a damn what it is, should be able to provide a safe shelter environment for themselves that's not run down in poverty, be able to put food on their table and clothes, yeah, on their back. Fucking, if you drive a car, gas in your vehicle. I strongly believe that.
And service for car.
I don't think, no, I'm just saying.
The car has got to be serviced.
I know. I'm talking about bare necessities.
And that's a bare necessity.
It pains me, though, to know that people can barely afford rent, that people can barely afford to go to the grocery store. Y'all, groceries are a sick amount. You remember when we used to go to the grocery store with $50.
Baby, and run it up. The way it used to be in Winco, a basket full of things.
I mean, $70 was like, I'm really something.
I remember like before COVID hit, because you know we were doing the envelope system.
Yeah.
So I was setting aside my cat, like taking out cash and putting my money in the in different envelopes for my different expenses. And my grocery each week was $50.
I know. Mine too.
Each week I was getting my stuff for the week for $50.
And that's why it was more cost efficient to eat at home.
Right.
Because it's like you could go out and get a meal and you're going to spend $50 to $60 each time you sit down. But if you go out and get your groceries, then you spent what you would spend on a night out and for the week. Yeah, it don't make that much sense no more at this point. You damn near might as well Uber Eats all your food to your house.
Okay,
you might you
because once you pay the delivery fees and stuff,
but you could easily eat out every day. You can go out and buy some. You could go to a Chipotle. You could go to a wherever the fuck you know these places. A Chick-fil-A a few times a week and have spend less on groceries.
Yeah,
you really can, and it's not right.
Yeah,
it's not right. I hate it for us.
I do too.
I hate it,
and we have this debt because of college.
Yeah,
the student loans. You know, we're the college girl, so. And boys and people. So it's just a lot. What are your concerns about the current economy? Is there anything that feels really daunting to you as it pertains to money?
I think it's depressing to not be like to really be a middle class girl and not be able to get all the things that I really desire. Like homeownership is a desire of mine. Even moving into like a nicer building or a nicer area, you know, just like progressively moving up. Like you mentioned about the housing, the cost of housing, I don't want to spend $3,000-$4,000 on a one bedroom apartment to be like, I live in this particular area or get the things that I want. You know, I feel like that is insane. And if you are out there doing it, great. I just don't want to spend my money like that because I know that other things are going to suffer as a result of being able to pay for it, but not necessarily being able to afford it. Mm-hmm. So like housing, student loan debt is sickening as fuck. I hate that. I think those are my biggest two woes. The other things I don't mind. I could keep up with. Luckily, y'all, I'm in a dink household, dual income, no kids. But even in a dink household, like, it's not lost on me that it's hard to like leverage.
Yeah,
to leverage the resources that we have because the goalpost keeps moving, things keep changing. Long gone are the days where you could pull up and get a nice apartment for $2,500, two bedroom, in a nice luxury building with a gym in it.
Listen,
you're not doing that anymore. Two bedrooms, baby, you $3,400.
Listen,
you $3,400 out the gate, and I'm just like, listen. If we, my thing with my partner has been, if we want to go that route, then we got to forgo home ownership, because anybody who owns a home, anybody who's ever been in the process of home ownership, knows what it takes to get a home.
And maintain. It's beyond getting.
Yeah, there's a lot of sacrifice to get to the point of like, here it is. We've made it happen. So I'm all for, listen, we just want to live. We want to live. But then we're going to have to get rid of the dream of we're going to buy something.
I feel like the dream is antiquated anyway. The homes here are like $800,000. The down payment is $40,000. You put that down and you still have a $6,300 mortgage. And then you have to pay when shit goes out, like HVAC or, you know, all these things that aren't majorly minor. You know, you can't just call up maintenance.
But the issue now is that
rent keeps going up.
Rent keeps going up. You can't keep up with rent. And that's the I guess, pro of a home ownership. Like you
in can a sort sense,
of-
but there's still a large gap between the rent going up and you're already coming in at a very high point.
And it just really depends on what you desire, what you want, and like what you really, you could get something for lower.
You can, but you just said you want to live in a nice environment.
I do.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you can.
It's just get stressful something all for around. Lower. See that? Like I make good money, y'all. I make great money. And it's still an issue of, but the shit is high as fuck. It's high. I seen somebody the other day on TikTok say you got to be rich to be comfortable these days. You really have to be rich. You got to be swimming in money to be super comfortable. Getting the shit that you want. That's another thing. Not just needs. Wants.
It's the wants.
What are you feeling when it comes to money?
The same thing. I'm feeling like the goalpost just keeps running. It keeps running and it's running quick. Mm-hmm. Who's the fastest runner? What's Usain Bolt?
Yeah.
It's giving that type of energy because... Yeah. Just like 2022, maybe 2021, you can get a nice luxury apartment for like $2,600. Yeah. You know, you could really get you something.
Florida, it's giving Florida ceiling
windows.
Florida
ceiling, you know.
Yeah, a lot of amenities.
And now you can spend like the $2,700, $2,600, but it's not going to be given that.
No.
And that's just disheartening when I go into these sites and I'm looking like, what do I need to get what I want? And it keeps changing. Quickly. Mm-hmm. That pisses me off. That's depressing.
It is.
It's very depressing. And we thought these student loans were going to be canceled. That's not fucking happening. The interest keeps accruing. I'm sick of it. Yeah. I'm sick of it. It's like, damn. Do I got to work 2 6-figure jobs back to back, not sleeping to get what I want? That's what it's looking like, because as much as they like to say $300,000 is a new $100,000, nigga, that's not easily attainable. There's not just 300,000 jobs sitting, $300,000 jobs available for the people.
And they need to start increasing. If y'all know that's what we need, then these salaries need to go up.
And that's my question. What I've been reading is, what needs to happen for the middle class? What needs to happen? And it really goes down to some policy shit changing. We need to get into our Martin Luther King MLK bag and really start marching for shit, because, nigga, it's not just going to work.
And that's another thing. Because of the current economy, there was a period where they were trying to get people back into the workforce after the pandemic. So businesses, corporations were paying more for the jobs. Now they're going to start decreasing the salaries again.
Yeah, it was like a job searcher's market.
It was.
You could go in there and request sign-on bonuses. On their EDD,
they had so many people wanting to stay home. It was easier to stay home than it was to go to work. Now they done got people back into the workforce, and it's like, great, we're going to actually lower the salary cap.
Yeah.
We're taking that down.
And there's fewer jobs because people are getting laid off and people need money. So they're desperate and they're taking whatever's offered because we have to work.
Wow.
They played us. That little pandemic period, that pandemic set us back.
It did something to us. But most of us young people, most of us Americans, young Americans are worried about housing. This is not a feeling that is just exclusive to us. You know, it's a feeling that we're all feeling. Housing, student loans. We already stretched thin, baby. I don't know how much.
Can't nothing else go up.
It's like, listen.
Unless it's a salary. If it's not the salary going up, I don't want to see nothing go up.
Seriously, we had gotten so comfortable not paying them student loan bills, and now that's coming back. We're anxious. We're nervous. We're worried. We're concerned. We're concerned.
Yeah.
Just going to be completely honest. And it's fucking annoying.
I know.
It's fucking annoying.
Y'all. We're going to continue having this conversation. We just need to take a deep breath and a break. A deep breath and a break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this: you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend. It's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about hormone harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to hormone harmony starts now.
Okay. I think what makes it even more frustrating is that us as millennials, we are more educated, mm-hmm. more skilled, and we're struggling more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, y'all told us to go to college, we went. Y'all told us to get advanced degrees, we did that.
Advanced degrees ain't advancing us now. That's the annoying part. We were having this conversation too about how we really thought that going to college was like
the end all be all.
Yes. You're going to go to college. Now we're worrying about, damn, I didn't go into the right field.
Girl, we were like, you know what? We should have went into law.
Engineering.
We should have went into law. We should have went into
woman.
Law.
We should have been STEM women.
We should have went into law.
All of the things, you know?
But even when I was in college, I was working full time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I've always been a working girl. I've always been a working girl.
Yeah. And I think, again, with us being the college girlies, we have an insane amount of more debt than our family, our parents had. You know, even our grandparents.
We came out the gate with debt.
Yeah. Our parents, our grandparents had more wealth and assets than we do, than at our age, than we do now. When we look back and we have, like you said, more degrees, more, we have more diverse skills, we're more educated, and we are more vulnerable. We are more vulnerable. It's like, damn. My grandparents owned their house for so many years. They didn't have no college degree. Mm-mm. They were able to buy so many things, you know, whatever it was.
They were able to live comfortably. Just live working at the airport.
Girl, government jobs, deliver the mail, stay-at-home mom on one income, too. That's another thing.
Girl, and that's what I'm saying. I'm like, y'all, we got to tap into reality because we're having these conversations about, you know, living a soft life and being kept and having these men take care of us. Hey, let's tap into reality because let's be realistic. Like, how is that really happening in today's times? Like, we want to live a soft life with our feet up and we're dating the average Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be taking on $200 dates. Last week or a couple weeks ago, there was a whole debate, a conversation about how a woman makes $100,000 and she got her man a watch from TJ Maxx, and she was wrong for that, or that was cheap. Like, what, she want her to get him a Rolex?
$100,000 don't mean nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
Just,
I'm like,
being completely honest.
Stop.
We haven't considered taxes, wherever that person lives. We haven't considered their debt. Nigga, I might not have no more discretionary income to get him anything more than a watch from TJ Maxx.
And y'all don't know my finances. And if it's a nice watch, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, whatever the cause for the gift is, like, stop. Let's stop. We have to stop acting like we're all rich.
And stop clocking everybody
else's. We have to stop acting like we're all rich because for some reason we think that we are. And we all know what the fuck's really going on.
Social media has made us feel like we're all.
It does.
It's like, you got to have the labels. Y'all, there's some people out there with labels who don't need a label. I'm going to be completely honest. We're striving. We're striving for the this and the that, the Gucci's, the Fendi, Gucci, Louis Prada. Okay? We're striving for all of those things, and the other shit is not taken care of. But you know why? It's because social media, because the it girls, they say we're carrying this bag, so we're carrying this bag. They say we're wearing this fragrance, we're wearing this fragrance. And a lot of this shit is out of our tax bracket.
Baby.
I'm going to be completely honest. You don't have no business wearing a $500 suit, scent.
The Baccarat.
A Baccarat Rouge. And it's giving, I'm not clocking nobody's job, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's a scent for somebody in a certain tax bracket. And you are stressing yourself out trying to get the Baccarat Rouge and get all of the things when it's like, girl, the money is not going to add up. It's never going to add up.
It's not.
You got to treat yourself when you get like your tax return.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But like doing that label shit on the day to day.
When 1 in 5 of us are living in poverty.
Wake up.
Per the stats.
There's some great stats from the HuffPost.
1 in 5, like, really, we do have to tap in and live within means.
And stop making people feel badly for living in their means. And for not going out and chasing, trying to keep up with the Joneses.
It is that.
Because that's why the goalpost really is on skates. It's on wheels, baby, because social media.
And we're trying to keep up with influencers who are really doing that.
They might have a 200,000. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they're really doing that.
Now,
they're really bringing it in.
The 300,000, the 200,000.
By all means.
High 200,000. Please get yourself some Baccarat Rouge. You deserve it. Everybody else loves Belle. And if you know, you know. Listen,
sale.
I'm not mad at some love spell. Okay, one vanilla sugar.
Crazy. You can get you a little.
A little Versace or something. I'm here for, I'm here. Yeah. Listen,
yeah.
I like nice things. I have labels. I have treated myself, but I'm not killing myself. And I'm not going into debt trying to keep up.
Listen.
There's really something that we have to put in our minds, in the forefront of our minds, and shift our perspective around what we can pay for and what we can afford. Those are two different things. I could pay for a lot of the shit out here. Does that necessarily mean that I want to be able to afford it day in, day out, month after month? No. That's the whole thing with the rent. I don't want to go live in $3,200 building.
The thing is, at the rate we're going, there, per the HuffPost, they're already, the stats from the HuffPost, they're already saying that a lot of us will have to work until we're 75 to retire.
Older,
if we keep up, 75 or older until we retire, if we keep up with this trying to keep up, we ain't going to never be able to rest.
No, it is you.
Because we're not
going
to be putting our money that's already tight where it needs to go.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to impress people.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Better.
Imagine getting to your last days. Our 80s, and we're like, I still got to come clock in and work 40, 60 hours because back in my prime, I was doing too much.
Mm-hmm. We have to be smart, y'all. We have to be smart. Another stat is that millennials have taken on at least 300% more student loan debt than our parents. We're also half as likely to own a home as young adults were in 1975.
Oh, I know that's true.
Listen.
That's facts, no printer.
It really is. It is sad.
Okay, so you know how people is talking that shit about be prepared because with the housing...
What?
When the housing market busts, when it pops, it's going to pop.
It's not going to pop.
It's not popping.
It's not going to pop because the issue right now is supply and demand.
Yeah.
There's not enough houses being built to keep up with the supply of people who want to purchase something. So as interest rates go down, the people who are already ready are going to be fighting for the few little houses that are available.
And paying way above the listing price because it's so competitive.
And
so
listen, we're not here to discourage anybody.
No, we're not discouraging. We're speaking facts. But I'm saying if you do find something like a little gym or something that's like $700,000, the fact that that's a gym and we're in California, so that's really the fucking problem. But if you do find a little gym like that, that's $700,000, you're going to be paying well above that because you're bidding. You're in a bidding war.
Yeah.
You're in a bidding war with people.
And with people who might become another thing.
And you know,
us.
We bank on the little first-time home buyer loan.
I was about to say, we want an FHA. We want a 3% down. We want the owner to play the codes and calls. We want a deal, baby. Get in there and find a deal for me. Can we get a program? We are a programming.
The NACAs.
Please. Where's the NACA? We're the NACA homes. Okay. And if you know, you know. Yeah, we want a motherfucking program. But the issue is there are investors and these people who are coming in, buying the homes. You
flat out
hoping somebody will pay the closing costs and they just paying the shit in cash. We got the $300,000 cash. We could do a $300,000 down payment. We could pay for the shit outright. $700,000, here you go.
Yeah.
$1 million home, break it down, build it back up. Yeah. Now they putting townhomes up and they charging everybody $5,000 a month for rent. Mm. That's what's happened on my street 2 times over.
Yeah.
2 buildings. One there, one, and they building another one. It's about to be happening 3 times.
They're building. Oh, yeah, they are.
They're building another one.
Yeah.
And I've checked those places out. I said it would be beautiful to live here.
Girl.
$5,000 a month, y'all. $5,000. It was $4,000 a month for a 2-bed. $4,000 for a 2-bed. $5,000 for a 3-bed. $6,000 or $7,000 for a 4-bedroom.
But y'all want to ask people where their kids at. Where they going to sleep? We going to be sleeping on top of each other. Can't afford for everyone to have a room.
Can't afford for everybody to eat.
Nigga,
can't afford for everybody
gonna be on
being
that
sports.
Titty, that permanent titty.
The nutrition.
Listen, you know you're still on this nutrition. Titty.
Okay, this conversation, I'm really loving where it's heading. We are coming with some tools because that's necessary. We can't just harp on all the bullshit without coming and giving you some solutions. So stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Okay, y'all, so before we get back to the tips and solutions, we got to get happy, y'all. We got to get happy. Mm-hmm. So how you can support us for free.
Right, for free.
Is by making sure you're following the show. You have hit that bell so you receive notifications for all our new episodes. And that you leave us a rating. Mm-hmm.
Super easy. Engage with the content, y'all. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Put the episodes in your group chat if it's resonating with you. And we love to know if you're really loving the show. So there's a little box that asks you, how did you like the episode or what did you like about the episode? Let us know. We love reading that kind of stuff. It feels like free flowers.
It does.
It feels like free flowers.
It feels so good to be affirmed in that way and just get that feedback. So yes, do that for us. Mm-hmm. You can also join us on the Homegirl Hangout. So if you like the content that you hear over here on the show, you'll love the Homegirl Hangout. We give journal prompts to follow up with all the episodes so that you can unpack and go deeper into the topic for that week. We also have 3 additional bonus episodes. So if you don't find it here, you're going to find it over there.
Yeah, there's so much to dive into. There's years worth of content. And the link to join us is down in the show notes. Okay, so if you are in the spirit of treating yourself, right, you might want to join us in Belize for our retreat, our Unlocking Sisterhood retreat. It's going to be May 3rd through the 7th. We're talking about money here, but there are flexible payment plans that you can do this and it still makes sense and it don't have to eat up your pocketbook.
Yeah.
So there's tons of details in the show notes. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be resting, relaxing, connecting, resetting, and doing all the things that good girls do when they go out on vacation.
That part.
We'd love to have you.
That part. Okay. So let's get back to the show. Okay, y'all. Tips, tricks, solutions. Now, this is something that's a little harder to solve because, like, we understand this is a systemic issue. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. And I do believe that we need to get out there and march.
Dude, she's calling on us.
I do believe that we need to go out there and make something shake. What I think the higher powers need to do, we need some universal health care. Mm-hmm. We need universal child care. If y'all are saying that $100,000 is a new dollar, then the low income, there needs to be adjustments and programs put into place for the new low income.
Right.
You know?
Where are they for us?
Where's the subsidized housing?
Yeah. Because if it's $300,000 and everybody who ain't making that is giving,
we need
income.
Our EBT cards.
We need them filled up.
We need them.
I will take mine.
And we are going to be swiping them with pride.
Listen, hopefully.
We are going to be swiping them with pride. We are going to destigmatize what they mean and swipe them with pride.
Okay, in Erewhon with my EBT.
Listen,
I'm getting my shit.
Hot plates and all.
Hot plate.
So yeah, there's that needs to take place because that's the part that's above us. But yeah. there are some things that we can do. Mm-hmm. There's some things that we can do now that we have the awareness that some shit's going on. You know, yeah. That's the first step.
Let us know.
So what we can do is avoid lifestyle creep or lifestyle inflation. So that's what that is, how this happens is when we start making money, we start spending more money. Mm-hmm. We move into these luxury apartment buildings. We get the more expensive cars. Maybe if we don't even start making more money, maybe we move in with a partner so we have more discretionary income to, like, you know, spend. There's more money available.
Yeah.
So we start buying more things. We have more subscriptions. We're eating out the fancy dinners frequently. Mm-hmm. We're buying all of the labels.
We're doing more online shopping. There's a lot. You just have more money to play with. So you think.
But what we're doing is we're inflating our own lifestyles, and we're already battling
with real inflation.
We're already battling with real inflation.
Yeah.
Then we have the lifestyle inflation. And then we're wondering what the fuck is going on, because we've been programmed to think you make more money, live it up, run it up.
Yeah, you deserve to be in a certain area or driving, like you said, a certain car. And that's the part that I'm keeping a tight grasp on. I'm looking at that tightly.
I am too. You have to keep your antennas up when it comes to this, because it's real. And I know the feeling.
Yeah.
I am blessed that my rent has not gone up in 6 years. And that's something that I've been able to keep a hold on. And I'm about to be making more money. And I need to really sit my ass there.
Yeah.
I really need to sit my ass there, because that's what's going to get me ahead. That's what's going to keep me ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Staying in that place, having that low rent. I like everybody else, want the floor to ceiling luxury doorman.
Yeah.
Vibes.
Concierge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want it too.
But at what price?
But is that smart for me? No, it's really not smart for me, because there's other things that I like to do. I like to be outside. Yeah. And I like to be, like,
and
you know,
occasionally travel.
I like to travel. I like to have experiences.
Buy
and
myself
if I get
things
into that motherfucking place,
that's going to be it. You're going to be house broke is what
I was just talking to somebody, and she lived in a luxury building. Why did her rent go up to a one bedroom, one bath? Carson, why did her rent go up to $3,500?
Yeah, that's what'll happen. In them high-ass buildings, there don't be no rent control. And they base the rent by how many units are full at the time of renewal. They're going to get their money. They're going to get have investors who are, like, managing the property. It's not like these small buildings, you know, when you're in a duplex or whatever, you likely have a private owner who has
sense. Which I have. I have a private owner.
The private owners have sense. But when you in them big-ass buildings, if half them units are not filled up, then guess what? The tenants who are currently there are going to make up for the difference. Everybody's rent's going up $500. I cannot.
It's crazy. And so, like I said, I'm going to stay there. I love my neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful neighborhood. And I'm okay.
Enjoy it.
I'm okay, but damn, this is how you got to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah. Another thing that we can do is avoid making impulse purchases. So y'all, we're no longer just putting shit in a bag. We no longer just running it up, swiping our card every goddamn place, everywhere we go. Instead, we're going to create a list of desires, things that we want. A buy list, for instance. You can put those items that you desire on a list. And after a predetermined amount of time, you decide what that time is, whether it be a week or a month. If you still want the thing after that time has passed, then go ahead and gift it to yourself. You know, really sit with the decision, because sometimes that will happen. Oh, I seen this. Oh, I really want it. We're moved by our impulses. We can be moved by our impulses, but we have to check that. We're in control. It's not our emotions. Sometimes there's something that I think I want, and after I don't buy it for a few days, I'm like, I don't even want it no more. I'm like, I don't even need it no more.
And we think we want it because, like you said, we're getting these messages that this shit that we should have.
Yeah.
You definitely want that bag. It's the it girl bag. Do you really want it? Do you really need the motherfucking bag?
No. Majority of the time, it's no.
No.
That'd be
if you have a staple black bag,
girl.
Quality, put your shit on.
And put some miles on it.
Put some miles on it.
And don't be feeling bad, because, you know, we'll be like, she wearing that down.
And she is. Cost per wear.
It's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, these, if it's a label, a material bag, for the most part, it's a good leather quality bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can put some miles on it. Okay. We also got to ask ourselves, what is enough? Like, when we're thinking about what will make us happy, we have to be really careful that we're not thinking about it from a consumerist mindset, because that'll have us constantly thinking that more things are going to make us happy. And that's not always the case, right?
Yeah.
So there's a financial planner by the name of Paco de Leon, or Leon. Leon?
Leon.
Leon.
De Leon.
That suggests that we should decouple our goals from material things and start thinking about how we want to feel.
Yeah.
So, like I mentioned, I want to live in a luxury building just as much as the next material girly. But there's really something...
Material girl.
Right. There's really something like deeper about like how I really want to feel in my place. Like I want it to be like beautiful, mm-hmm. and I want it to be comfortable. So there are other places that can provide that same beauty and comfort that might not be like a luxury building. Like yeah. it might be a gym that's found.
I'm all for a gym. That's yeah, what I want, actually. You know,
like, it could be a gym. It could be something that's found through doing search. I feel like I find gyms pretty good when I really put my nose to the ground.
You do.
So, like...
I need you to lock in on me a place.
Jeremy, figure out what you're doing first. One minute you tell me to lock in, then no, you say you're staying.
You know you could lock in my budget. In my budget, you could lock in.
Okay.
I'm talking about the fucking, you know, floor to ceiling beat. That's not feasible.
Right. That's and that's easy to find. I could find a floor to ceiling luxury building easy. Yeah. But finding a gym, like just when it's time for me to like move, I'm sure I could lock in and find a gym that will be equally great.
Yeah.
You know? And so instead of thinking about what I need, I can just think about how I want to feel, mm-hmm. and also thinking about like, okay, how much money do I need to make to live the life I want to live, but also be able to save for emergencies,
yeah.
and not be in a damn pickle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I had got my car serviced last week, and the loaner that they gave me was a newer version of my car. It's a this year model, and I was like, oh. When they pulled it up, I said, what is this? I didn't even know it was the same card as mine.
Oh.
And they're like, this is a 2023, you know, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, wow. So I got into it, and immediately I started having those feelings of like, obviously this is attainable because I already got this. It's just a newer version. And I'm like, wow, this is really nice. But then I check myself and I'm like, what you got is still nice to you. Because we'll be chasing that feeling of like, I need this to make me happy. Yes.
Yeah.
This new thing, this shiny toy, the this year thing will make me feel even better than I feel in my car. But I was like, no, I enjoy my car. I love my car. My car is in great condition. It's being serviced regularly.
Right, and it's reliable.
Right, it's reliable. The note is within reason. I'm happy with that. And I don't need the new thing just to say I got the new thing. No. I'm like, that's not going to make me feel happy. This is great. I was really proud of myself because I was able to appreciate that I really, like, I was able to adore the car, you know, and appreciate the new technology that they put in the car. And I'm like, when it's time for me to upgrade my car, whenever that makes sense for me, then I'll do it. I'm not being pushed to do it because I think this new thing is going to make me feel good.
Yeah.
So, no.
That's how I felt when it was time for my lease to be up on my car because I have a lease car, or I had a lease car. And the natural progression we think is like, okay, yeah, the lease is up, get the newest whip.
Yeah.
But when I stepped into that dealership, even before, and I saw the interest rates and what new cars were going for, I'm like, it's not your time.
It's actually not
time to buy the car. Yeah. Because what? I can't have a $700 car note. I cannot have a $700 car note.
No.
That's not an option for me.
And then it's like, if it is, if you do, what else will be?
Well, we'll have to sacrifice.
You'll sacrifice more just to drive the car. Nigga, emergency come up. You can't even take care of what you need to take care of. You got to get tires. Can't do that because it's too much. All of that has to be considered when
that car going to be parked.
Listen, when you're making moves.
Can't afford to go nowhere.
Another tip, y'all. We have to start getting comfortable talking to our friends about money.
Yeah.
You know? As vulnerable and tricky and sticky as the money conversations can be, we still have to have them. Hopefully you're in a relationship with people where it's like, it doesn't have to be too taboo, but we know that it happens. Like, we mindlessly kind of go out and be like, we'll split the check five ways. We'll split the check four ways.
Yeah, we'll split the check, or I got it this time.
We'll split it when that might not be everybody's story. Everybody might not be comfortable taking that approach in this season. And if that's you, then it's okay for you to say something like, hey, y'all, I'm monitoring my money a little closer. I'm going to get my food on the side. You know, I'm just trying to make sure that I know exactly what I'm spending. I'm budgeting and I want to join, but this is how it makes the most sense for me. Or if it doesn't make sense for you to go out at all, share that as well. I'm really keeping a close eye on my entertainment, my going out expenses, and I'm going to have to pass on y'all. I'm going to eat dinner at home, but I hope y'all have a great time. Nobody's going to judge you for making an executive decision around your finances, being fiscally responsible. Like, yeah, girl, don't come.
Yeah.
Don't come. That's totally fine by me.
Yeah.
And I think that is a conversation that we should have more often. Like, does everybody feel comfortable splitting the bill?
Yeah.
Or with some, because we do, we'll just be like, split it.
It becomes obligatory.
Yeah.
it becomes obligatory or customary, I should say.
Customary.
Yeah, but.
And depending on who I'm with, I don't really care. But I think it's helpful for any to like kind of loosen any tension if somebody doesn't feel comfortable to be like, I really don't want to do that. To say, y'all good?
Yeah.
Does anybody want a separate check tonight?
Yeah. And also realizing that different people have different money privileges. That's just the reality of like friend groups. Mm-hmm. There can be like a common thread, but everybody has different situations. So it's just very mindful to be able to have those conversations or to think about that.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel like you can have those conversations, then that's another issue that might have to be addressed. But don't get shamed into being broke. Mm. Shit. Okay. Next tip or solution is to review your budget. Mm-hmm. We're reviewing our budgets with this inflation shit going on. If you don't have a budget, it's time to create a budget.
Listen.
And if you do have one, then we're going to be looking at it with a fine tooth comb, going through it with a fine tooth comb.
A rat tail. I'll be looking at mine with a rat tail.
We do,
baby.
Because if we don't look at it, that's how money slips through our fingers. Where is my money going? The subscriptions? Am I taking advantage of all of them? Maybe I need to cut back. Maybe I can't do it all. You know, maybe I can't do the class pass, the gym, the chiropractor, you know, looking at it and look for opportunity. Honestly, we should be looking for opportunities to cut shit.
Yeah.
That's what it needs to be at this time. What can go? You know?
What can go that I'm really not using?
Because we're not getting the relief on the front end, so we have to create relief on the back end.
Yeah.
What can go? I have not been to that gym. I have not been. It has to go. At this point, I'm holding on to a, if I go, you know.
Yeah, well, it's like.
But I have not been going.
And then that's $30 every month.
$30 a month.
30 times 12. What is that, $600? I'm terrible with math. Is that $600, y'all? Now we got to do the math. We think it is.
$360.
See, I'm edit that.
Yeah, but you know, there's things that are fixed expenses. You can't do anything about your rent. Can't do anything about your mortgage. You can't do anything about your car note until that's paid off. So look for where areas of opportunity where you can do something.
Yeah, I already shared that I like live with my partner, and I realized like a few months back, earlier in the year, for like y'all probably for like 8 months, I hadn't really been looking at my budget. I had been looking at my expenses.
You hadn't been looking at your budget for.
I've been looking at my expenses. I knew what I was spending, but I wasn't following a tight budget like I once had.
You were just spending money because you were used to your bills being lower.
I'm like, oh, it's rent being, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is easy.
Yeah.
And I have, like I said, because you know the vibes. It's like you feel like you do have more money, more discretionary income. So I was just going off vibes like, oh, check came in. I wasn't looking at nothing, doing all the things. And then I realized, damn, I'm spending a lot of money. Damn, I don't know where my money going. There's no way that I'm in a dink household and I'm not really like saving more. That was important to me. Like, how am I not putting up hella more money to save? I had to sit down and get myself together. I'm like, bills don't need to be more than 50% of your income. What are you spending and what are you saving? And
yeah, the 50, 30, 20.
Period. Yeah. Now I'm like, look, you got 30% of your income to spend, which is a good amount. Stop doing hella much.
Yeah.
Like, put it in your kitty and get things off your kitty. And since refocusing, because I was focused at one point, I got off track.
Kitty, you could split that kitty up so quick.
Girl, then you be in the real, in the pussy. You know, you go from the kitty to the main account. The main account is the big cat. I'm like, I'm actually in my cat. I'm no longer in my kitty.
Girl, and then go over to the bussy when you're in the savings. Like, hold on. Get back to the kitty. Get, because now it's giving anal. Fucked from the front and back.
Now we're in the booty hole, okay?
And the booty hole,
right? When we get to the booty hole, you were supposed to be in the kitty.
Right.
The kitty is the clit.
The kitty is what we're putting aside. To blow.
Yeah, you know, that's
a spend a check
it.
And get it right back from where you can just spend that mindlessly.
The kitty is for whatever you want to have do.
Yeah.
Once I'm in my cat, things are different. Yeah. Why are we in my cat? Why am I in my cat? I don't want to be in my cat. And I definitely don't want to be in that booty hole.
Listen.
The savings. Do not touch that. That's exactly what a booty hole is. Off
the
limits.
Booty hole, yeah. The don't booty hole that. Is a savings.
Special occasion.
The booty hole is a savings. I want to stay in that kitty.
I want to stay in the kitty, okay? We can kitty all day.
Yeah, so look at that budget, y'all.
Yeah.
Look at it. Don't sleep on it.
Okay. Next, y'all, we're diversifying our income. This is really important. Although, you know, inflation is high, we have to find ways, or we can get creative around ways to get a little extra income. So maybe that looks like a side hustle or a little part-time job, if you can, not to kill yourself. But, you know, something to bring in a few little extra coins. Maybe you could braid your homegirl's hair.
Nigga, we work two jobs.
This is our side hustle. So, like, what is it that you can be creative around or resourceful around and get some extra money?
Yeah.
The way I will be a barista if shit goes bad. I always say that. Or I will
work at Sephora as a beauty advisor. I will get
right back into my retail bag.
I will work a part-time job doing some HR consulting.
Yeah.
I will do what I need to do to live the life that I want to live.
And if a layoff or something occurs where you're forced to, you know, out of your primary job, at least you'll have a little something to fall back on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Diversify it, baby. Yeah. We got to. Also, and this is something that I need to do yesterday, open a high yield savings account. When we're putting our money in our like regular bank savings account, they're not really working for us. But if you put it in a high yield savings account, you can earn interest on the money that you're saving.
Mm-hmm.
They give you, I think it's like 2-4%.
Yeah,
it's depending typical.
On where, yeah, we have yeah. one. I have one.
So that gives you more leverage, you know, instead of it just sitting in the account. And some of the online banks, they have lower costs because they don't have the overhead costs as like a regular brick and mortar mm-hmm. bank would have. So high yield savings account.
Tap in. This is the time.
Yeah. Put your emergency fund in that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the booty hole. We're not supposed to be touching it. It yeah. That makes it harder to touch it, too.
Yeah, it is. It's way difficult. Way yeah. more difficult. Okay, y'all. Hopefully you found those tips, tricks, solutions valuable in getting ahead.
Usually, this is the part where we tell you to pick up your pen because we're dropping a gem and we have something to share with y'all. But I think we've said a mouthful today.
Yeah.
So the gem would be wake up and stay woke. Mm-hmm. You know, have these conversations with your friends, your family members. Be honest and be real.
Period. And okay. That's that on that.
That's that on that. If you enjoyed this conversation, please share it with a friend. Make sure you're following us on Instagram. We'll be back here next week at the same time.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.